Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
All right, and we are live, and welcome to the San Francisco 49er Championship Super Bowl podcast. Ooh, no, the tie's so clean, so clean.
Takes up my whole window. It's just the whole window.
We're party ready.
Yeah, we're a bunch of Chads here. Just
a bunch of Chads, you know. And welcome, yes, on that Thursday evening. Other thing we talk about, campfire.
Yeah, we do two things. We're 49er fans and we play games. That's what we do.
Absolutely. Shout out to the Cheetah and shout out to Ty Guy Travis. So, E, what's going on with you, man? How you been?
Better. I've been better.
Yes.
So,
what's going on?
It was kind of like Sunday night. Raya like didn't finish her food, which none of our dogs do that. They eat way too fast usually. And usually if you take to the dog, the vet, they ask like, hey, how's their bathroom stuff? Are they eating and drinking normally? How's the energy level? Those are the main questions. So when not eating, I was like, okay, didn't finish the meal. Next day, same thing. So we got a vet appointment for Tuesday morning, went in, and blood work was really, really, really bad. Red blood cell count was just dangerously low, basically. So right now we have her on a steroid. To try and help. So she's eating more and drinking more. I've got follow up blood work to see if that's kind of normalizing a little bit, but it's I mean, they were talking about like a blood transfusion, which is cost prohibitive at that point. I mean, you take them to a pet hospital and you do that, that's half a car. So that one's kind of not in the realm of possibility. So she's coming up on 12 this year. She would be 12 in June. Wow. So, I mean, she's older, but the way she's been, I mean, she has the autoimmune disease. You never know it by looking at her. We had gone through a couple of medications. So she got like, she was leaner before, like fluffiness wise. She's a husky. They're all fluffy, but she went like extra fluff on one of the medications we put her on, but it also like her gums like overgrew kind of thing. So like everything was just doing too much. So we took her off of that. But she's been on one just for maintenance, and like her white blood cell count wasn't the highest, but it was just kind of maintenance mode, but everything was like good. Right. So we thought we were good for a while, and this just kind of came out of nowhere. So,
That sucks.
My wife and I had a rough couple of days, and we'll see how tomorrow goes. But kind of at this point, we just don't know how much time we have left with her, and it sucks.
Yeah, that sucks. I got the pleasure of meeting Ryan. I remember the sass. I remember, she had a little attitude to come through, but then she started to warm up, you know, to me. But I hear you. It's tough. And for me, as a former pet owner, I understand that pain. Because to me, they just people. Like, it's not.
Yeah, I mean, they're like, our family.
They're family. So it's like, I get it. Yeah, man. And like I said, best of luck as far as that situation, because I know some of the options that are presented. The only thing that I used to hate when we were in those situations, none of them are guaranteed. Yet they expect you to spend all this, you know? It's tough. It's tough,
man. Like, if you do a blood transfusion, you need to do, like, a autoimmune. So, like, the new blood isn't attacked. She's already on an autoimmune thing, and things have not gone well. So it's like, so there's absolutely no guarantee. And it's also the other thing is we can do a steroid, have her at home, see how it goes. Right. Or you could leave her in a hospital for 4 days where she's just not happy and not with us. And it was just a lot of factors kind of went into us not wanting to do that. So that was the last couple of days. On top of that, I've been just, it's February, so I said I was going to be busy, and I may have buried myself in busy, but it's good to be busy, as Travis would say. And
good distractions.
Played something Can't talk about that till next week. Played a stress test for Nightingale. I got into, signed up and was able to get into that. That one's like a, they call it a gas lamp survival game. So if you picture steampunk, where it's all kind of like technology and kind of more mechanical, this is that kind of a similar era, but like a little bit different look, but incorporating magic.
Okay.
So it's kind of a different twist on it. And you have your main realm, kind of where your base would be. It's a survival game, so there's, getting your wood and crafting and building a base and stuff. But once you get to a certain point, there are portals you'll go through, and you'll put two cards in with, like, what do you want, a forest or desert or swamp, and then also kind of some variations on it. And then when you go through that, it procedurally generates that world for you. So all of it's procedurally generated, which is actually really cool. It's in UE 5.3, I think, so Unreal. Looks pretty good. It's interesting. It's got, between Enshrouded, Pal World, Lego Fortnite, and this, there's a lot of survival out there right now. And I think this one will definitely give people, again, if they're looking to scratch that survival itch more, if they aren't done with any of the other stuff I said, that this one, while it is busy right now, I think it is doing some cool things. I'll see. It's more of just kind of a different feel and look to it. Got some interesting stuff. So got that one. I played a demo, a little bit of Ultros, which I may play a little bit more of. That's like a really vibrant, it looks like somebody's on an acid trip in a Metroidvania. It is the brightest color palette. It looks psychedelic is the best way I can describe it. So you got that one. There's a couple other demos because Steam Next Fest is going on right now too. Why does it have to be in February? Why? That is not necessary. That is not a thing. Logged into Destiny for a week, made a video for this week. I logged in once, made a quick video, knocked that out.
Was it chores? Chores for the queen?
This week wasn't bad. So if you do want a wish token this week, it is go find 7 ascendant chests. So if you turn on your tincture of queen's foil, you just go around to different spots of the Dreaming City and platform a little bit for chests. You just do 7 of those and you're done. That one was almost quicker than the lost one. Sector farming one. Mm-hmm. If you know where everything's at. Helldivers, that one came out this morning. I haven't played it yet, so we'll ask about that. Skull and Bones, I'm playing the open beta. I started for a couple hours last night, played that for a couple hours. So far, the open beta is exactly what the closed beta started as. That's all I know so far. But the open beta does exist. So if you want to try Skull and Bones,
It's different than one of the open betas, but it is the same thing as the most recent one.
Yeah. But yes, this is the open beta where if you play, your progress will carry over if you choose to play the full game. Ubisoft, unfortunately, is calling this a quadruple A game, and I laughed. I about fell out of the chair when I saw that tweet.
Really?
I about fell out. I was like, come on.
I think you have to call it a quadruple A game when it takes 10 years and $200 million to make, and you admit before the game even comes out that you're not going to get anywhere close to making that back.
That's definitely a sunk cost. I think they were contractually or government obligation to put that game out. It was something, right?
Was it?
I heard that at some point that the reason it kept going. No, I feel like they had an agreement with some country that they were going to they worked together for something. And I think that was one of those that they eventually just had to get it out. I think that's why it got pushed so much and so long, but kept being a thing. Cause I feel like it's been reinvented twice.
I'm shocked that thing's still continuing.
I mean, I'm a little bit too, but yeah, it's going to be a thing.
I'm reviewing it. Let me tell you, I've previewed it 3 times. 2 of those times were the beginning part of the game that were completely different each time I played them.
Wow.
And then I also, before I previewed it in its current build, I played it at E3 in 2016, which was a completely different game. It was a PvP game. And then I also did a 3-hour preview of the end game. 3-hour? No, it was more than that. It was like 4 or 5 hours of the end game. So I have played pretty much all of the high end activities, and I've played the first season content because they have a full year of seasonal content already mapped out.
They actually had a plan for that.
Wow. And I don't know if this game is going to be good.
Hmm.
So I should tell you that much. I played like 20 hours of this game, including some of the end game, and I don't know if it's going to be good or not. I will say the first time I played it, I was surprised it was a game. I was like, wow, this is like a real game. I just don't know how you, from a life service perspective, keep it entertaining for as long as they're trying to keep it without anything but ship to ship combat. I mean, that's the whole game.
That's the thing, is even if you're farming resources, it's like all from your ship in these little like kind of mini timing games or something. Like, that's all. It's kind of weird.
Also, so many teams have been passed this game to work on it over the years.
Oh, the opening credits is insane.
The opening credits is hilarious. It shows like every Ubisoft team imaginable. It's like from Ubisoft France and Montreal, and like it just literally puts up all the logos.
And it has like, I was like, why are all these being shown? I think Singapore
finished it.
Yeah, I think that's right.
It's because they all worked on it over the years. Like, I've seen so many different studios be in charge of this game.
Wow.
And I'm starting my review for it. I guess I'm technically already in review mode because we're playing the beta, but and the beta is essentially the full game. But yeah, it's very fun. It's interesting.
The Tales of Kinzera Zal.
Played that demo.
That game has a lot of heart. I don't know how the combat and everything is going to be. So far, combat feels okay. I don't know. After Prince of Persia for a Metroidvania, like that combat was damn good. And while the story was decent, like the story was probably the weaker side, but it's still pretty good. The combat in Prince of Persia was so good. The boss fights. So good.
You're just coming off of that too.
Yeah, coming off that, Metroidvanias have it tough. That's why like Ultros and Tales of Kinzera Zal. But like I can tell the heart is in Kinzera easily. From just when you play like 5 minutes, you can tell there's like a lot of heart in there. It's kind of like it feels a little bit like the Black Panther kind of story going on. Energy. It's kind of exactly where I got that one. So all of that happened. I have not touched Suicide Squad. Haven't even booted the game up because I haven't got a chance. Because I did end up getting a code. Thank you, you know, Warner Brothers. I can say that. But they got it to me Friday, and that's when I got two other codes. And by the time Friday came around, early access had been going for 3 days, and I'd already kind of seen some of the writing on the wall. So have you guys played, looked at, seen reviews, thoughts, anything at all on Suicide Squad? Because I have like four big images up, and I was just kind of curious your guys' takes on that. I saw what IGN gave it. So
I deferred to Trav. I didn't play with the mess with it.
I played the first 4 hours, and the combat seemed okay. I was having fun with it. It seems like it asks a lot of the player in terms of stuff you have to learn to get good at that. The story I really liked. I thought the writing was good and all that. And the reviews I've read have basically been like, the story's good, the campaign is good, but once the campaign's over, the end game is bad. And to me, that's not that big of a deal, because I kind of think of Suicide Squad, like I'm going to play Suicide Squad the same way I play like Mortal Kombat or, you know, Injustice. In that I'm just going to play the story and then probably never touch it again. And I'm okay with that. So to me, like, it seems fine. It seems like it'll be fun and fun to play for a couple hours and then put down. But I'm sure that as a live service game, I'm almost certain it probably makes no sense. But again, I haven't gotten that far yet.
Some of the stuff
I haven't put a ton of time into it, but I will say the opinions I've seen out there from the general public, people just need to chill out. Would be my recommendation, because
they got chill.
It's like nobody's trying to destroy any companies, and I don't think people who are saying they don't like the game are being disingenuous, and I don't think people who say that they like the game are being disingenuous.
It's I agree.
You know, you go into this game, and if you're looking at it as a live service game, you're probably going to see one thing, and if you're looking at it as just a story game, you're going to see another. And I just see a lot of opinions that seem to me completely reasonable. My camera just turned off.
I think because my editor, I think Lognet, he really liked it, and I think kind of the same points you said, which is like graphics and story for the most part liked, and then the end game he had some questions there, but he also said like he was having a ball for. I think it's what you said. I think it's a polarizing title in the sense that a lot of people love Rocksteady for what they've done in the past, and maybe. I think some people were like, hey, this, I didn't really want this. But then the people who actually played it said they really enjoy it. It's such a polarizing gig. I've seen many varied opinions.
I am seeing some of that, of people being like, oh, it's not the game that I wanted them to make, which was another Batman Arkham game. But I don't think that that's the majority of it, because I'm actually seeing the opposite. I'm seeing a lot of people who say like, I like live service games, and I don't have a problem with this being a live service game, but I don't think it's a good one. Gotcha. And then there's a lot of people going, you know, I wanted a purely story game, and I got the story, and the story was good, but then it wanted me to do all this other live service stuff that I'm not into. And so you're kind of getting both sides of the equation saying it's no good.
Yeah, from what I've gathered from a couple different views is missions, as you go through them, get to be very, very repetitive. It's like guys on top of three rooftops with barricades, and then it's all about kind of your traversal, and that's kind of the combination. I don't think a lot of people like the shield mechanic. You have to, because you have guns all the time, but then to get your shield back, you have to either counter and then get up and close and melee to get a shield back or get them to a certain point. So I think the repetitive nature of the missions I've heard, again, haven't played it, but the repetitive nature of the missions is one thing that I will be kind of curious to judge on. And then just kind of the story is, when I played the closed thing was that they finally opened the NDA up on, I was chuckling at the story and the writing. So I think that will be, I mean, I laughed out loud at some of the stuff because I mean, the characters are really high fidelity and, you know, the writing's fun and it's rock steady. So I'm not surprised, but I think as an open world live service game, this is not their forte. And I don't, it, from what it sounds like, the for the end game, it's like the same three missions.
Right.
Over and over and over, and then just like different skills. So there's just not a lot of depth to it. And then it just sounds like there's only so much. Like, you can dig into it if you want to, but also looking at like coverage and stuff for it views wise, outside of just crapping on it in a review, which is the bigger views I see on YouTube videos, the smaller ones like guides and stuff, even for massive channels, don't seem to be doing what they should be doing. So that kind of makes me wonder. Probably a decent amount on consoles, but the Steam numbers are not that high. I think it peaked at like 13K, and it's like sub 10K right now for Steam, which it's a busy time for a lot of games, but as big as that is, I don't know. But the live service thing I have a lot of worry about. If that's their plan to make it a live service, that's the one we all wondered. It's like, are you going to come back to this thing in 3 months for season two or something? And it's like, rah, that seems tough.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've been playing some and looking at some, but yeah, it's like we can kind of can talk about some, can't talk about another. Travis, what can you talk about?
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Yeah, I can't talk about the game that you're referencing.
Yeah, you and I both can't.
Banisher's Ghost of New Eden. I think we're both reviewing that. My review has been done for a while, so that's going live on the 12th.
He's ahead of me.
My next review is Skull and Bones, which, you know, I can talk about because it's openly playable right now. I'm not getting any early access to any of the content because it's on live servers. What else? Helldivers 2.
Yeah, that's an interesting
It's fun. I mean, I hear that the launch servers are not doing great. The matchmaking is pretty busted. The game crashed on me. The game crashed on Hogue. We're having trouble getting through even like the very beginning of the game.
Oh, wow.
Because Sony doesn't know how to make online games. They've never done online games, and they're publishing this game, and they're about as bad as Nintendo at this stuff. Okay. So, they are. They've got a track record to back that up. I mean, what's your favorite Sony published online game?
I don't really play online over there. Yeah.
Nobody does. That's because they don't have any, dude.
Yeah, last time I did like some legit serious online, I was like so called.
Like Rocket League is probably their best example.
I mean, that's not Sony published.
I know.
That even is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think the only one I can think of that Sony published is Destiny, and that one does not count because it was the Sony platform and run by a different company. I don't think they've homegrown. I can't think of any online games.
That's a good point. Okay, it's been that long. So,
they're pretty bad at this stuff. So I was kind of like, this is kind of what I expected. I'm sure they will iron it out. But I played it offline when I went to Sony Studios to preview it. And it's super fun. It it's got a my favorite part of the game is it's very like tongue in cheek, satirical, yes. You know, alternate yes. Earth kind of yes. reality. It's very funny and silly funny. And Starship Trooper esque. And it's got this really cool thing where you know you're kind of an extra in an action movie, you know, in the action movies where the hero's doing crazy stuff and love then in the it. Background you see like people get like they take one hit and they just die immediately. And you're one of those guys. And okay. so instead of respawning and having all this health and stuff, basically your characters just die really easily. And then when they're dead, the living teammates have to enter a code for another drop pod to come in and you just start playing as a new character. And so you get 20 respawns every level and you just, you know, you can go through them and your characters are just like meat to be grinded up. And that tone is really funny. It's got nice. This, my only problem with it is that I think we played it for 3 or 4 hours in the studio. And after 3 or 4 hours, I felt like I'd played pretty much everything. Like it yeah. uses procedurally generated areas. And it only has two mobs, at least in the build that I played. Only had two mob types, which are the robots and the bugs. And once you've seen those guys a couple times and seen them on different difficulties, all the levels and missions are kind of very similar. Land on the planet, you have some objective, like you have to launch some nuclear codes or you have to you know, take out a military target or whatever, and then you make your way to an extraction point and you leave. And so it's kind of an extraction shooter with a really irreverent and weird tone. And I don't know, I like it. I wonder how it's going to do as a live service because it is pretty repetitive and they don't have a live service roadmap. And their devs at their studio told me that when I interviewed them at the studio, they were like, wow. Yeah, we're kind of just gonna, they were like, yeah, we're just gonna kind of see how the community reacts and then come up with a plan from there. And I was like, that's a terrible idea.
Yeah, it sounds interesting.
Yeah, I was like, that's not how you should do it. That's how they used to do it like 15 years ago. But yeah, it's we'll see how that turns out. I do think they have something, right? Like
okay.
what I played foundation. I really liked. I think they've got a good foundation, but it's just, it seems a little light and I'm wondering how long it's going to take for it to feel good long-term. Okay. So.
No doubt. That's been it for the most part. Those games. Nice.
Yeah.
And stuff you obviously can't talk about, but yeah, I mean,
yeah, I can't talk about, but yeah, that's, those games.
Yeah.
So Yakuza.
Finally. So I got to take it out of my system. So now it's like, okay, I can dedicate to Ichiban and Kiryu. Let's go. Gotta be honest.
What chapter are you on?
Like 6, maybe.
Nice. So we're about the same.
Okay, so we're the same part. So I will say though, it kind of started off a little slow.
Sort of the first one.
Yeah, it's directly from the first one. So highly do not recommend if you've not played these games, do not jump in with Infinite Wealth. I personally can't recommend it because I feel like it's certain things are just not going to hit for you, and there's not enough action for someone who doesn't know what's going on. But I felt like.
Do you need just Like a Dragon?
Yeah,
or
yeah,
I feel like do a you dragon. Need like Yakuza dragon. Zero? Like, how far do you have to go?
No. Okay, no, you need nothing but Like a Dragon.
Thank you. I agree. See, Travis, the first person to actually agree with you on this one because people are like, no, you've got to go through the whole.
No, life. That's silly. I mean, you definitely benefit from that stuff. Yes. And I hear the farther you get into the game, there's more fan service. And if you're going to play one of the Yakuza games, you should play The Man Who Erased His Name because yes. that is the most directly related. But I would argue you can absolutely play Like a Dragon and then go straight to Infinite Wealth. And
yes.
You'll miss some stuff, but it's really just not necessary.
Agreed. No, I agree. A perfect analysis. That's exactly my thought process on it. So yeah, I thought it would be some really cool fan service, some really cool stuff. Once you get to Hawaii, it is on. It is on. Now, yeah. I've never been to Hawaii in my life.
You this haven't?
Place, no, in my life. Like, wow. I can only imagine. I said, this feels, hey, let's do it after the wedding. This feels like, wow, this must be how it's like. Because I spoke to Gene Park about it. He was like, bro, they're all.
It's pretty on point.
Yeah.
It's pretty on point. I mean, the only thing that is completely off-putting is how much it is Japan. I mean, yes. they don't even try to hide it, dude. They just put Japan, it's like an alternate reality where, you know, Pearl Harbor, they just stayed around afterwards and set up camp because it does not feel like part of the United States at all. It's ridiculous. Agree. But it is very like geographically and the way that it looks when you're walking around, it looks like beautiful. Hawaii.
It's beautiful. I love all the game looks great on HDR with the sunlight and the stuff going on. I just like they've introduced little silly systems to get you kind of used to the gameplay mechanics, like the whole aloha, like talking to everybody thing and getting them ingratiated with that. All the mini games are off the chain, like really, really good. And I think now where I'm at, the story is heating as to why all the parties are converging in Hawaii. And I love that part. So yeah, it's really good. I'm trying to think. There's some, I don't want to spoil.
Yeah,
what's up?
The Pokemon game.
Oh, I'm addicted to Tsujimon?
I put maybe 10 hours into Tsujimon, dude. I'm all the way at the championship fight. I beat all the trainers, but when you get to the end of the story, there's a unrelated combat encounter that requires you to be like in your level 30s to do it.
Yeah, and so you want to level up.
You can't complete not just your Tsujimon. I'm talking about your characters have to be level 31. And so I'm at the point where all my Tsujimon are max level and I could absolutely destroy the final boss in the Tsujimon. But then right after you win the Tsujimon game, there's an unskippable combat encounter against level 31 enemies that will absolutely destroy you if your characters aren't leveled up, not your Tsujimon. Right. And so my Tsujimon are fine, but then I can't win the combat encounter. So I have to wait for me to get much farther, and then I'm gonna go back and finish it. Yeah.
I am so glad you said that, because this is why I love Infinite Wealth. There is difficulty scaling over. There's places where you're not supposed to be. When you see dudes with the red and the purple crown over their head, and they sitting there and they ghouls behind the court, like there's dudes you got to not mess with. That you and you won't get your ego in there, you're gonna get wrecked. And the thing about it, is when you lose, they take almost half your money. Oh. So this is not the game to be.
They beat you down and then they rob you.
And then they rob you. So yeah, like this game makes you feel the threat.
ATMs, bro. Use those ATMs.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I've never used an ATM in a Yakuza game.
What?
My ego just wouldn't let me.
Dude, are you insane?
I scum save like
what? No, dude. Throw your money in the deposit and then don't have to sweat it, because sometimes getting killed can benefit you, because it spawns you in that area with no enemies around you. And so if you have like a mission you have to do, it could be helpful. But I just make use of the deposit box, man.
And the final things I would say, it's one of the games that it satisfies my OCD with picking up things, searching for things, side quests. It makes me, this is a weird game where I'm not really a completionist in open world type of games. Like this game, I want to do it because some of the things are so fun, and then they benefit you. They really do. There's a weird side quest. This guy keeps challenging me that, you know, and he gets stronger and stronger. Next time I'm going to get you. And then now he's at the point where I'm like, oh, I got to be like a level 40 something before I could deal with him this time around. So yeah, the story's heating up. The Kiryu Saga, you're starting to learn a lot of things there. And our last point I'll say is, this is the part that surprised me the most. The writing for the characters is really good and hilarious. I didn't think I would like the new characters. I thought I was going to, as soon as I get the game, I'm like, I'm going to go wait till I get my old characters back, the Nambas, the Adachis. The cab driver and this, I love them too. One of them is kind of shiesty. The other one, both of them are kind of shiesty in a way. And it just goes to show.
Yeah, they're Hawaiian.
Yeah, it goes to show you the scams that go on in Hawaii. All the hustling that's. No, it's a funny game. I really enjoy this game, man. So
yeah, awesome. I will say, when it comes to the writing, I have all of the compliments everyone else has given of, like, it is good. Mm-hmm. It is extremely overwritten.
Overwritten.
Oh, my God, dude. Jesus. And I mean, I know that that's a constant thing in Japanese writing. They have to say something 10 times in 10 different ways because they talk to their audience like they're stupid, but it is pretty bad in this game. Like I there's so many times where I'm sitting there and I'm like, bro, I get it, dude. There's a thing in like American storytelling called the double beat, which is where you have a beat that was the same as last time. And sometimes people try to do it for emphasis, but it bothers me as somebody who understands how you're supposed to tell a story. You don't have to repeat a beat, and they do it a lot in these games. And then ironically, they also do it a lot in what I've been calling crevice crawlers, the the Sony story games where you crawl through crevices like God of War. Those games have so many repeated beats over and over again where you're like, dude, we already went over this. You don't have to re-explain it to the audience. We're smart. I've been playing a lot of games lately that have double beats, and it's kind of becoming a increasingly bothersome nitpick for me.
Not for you. My nitpick, surprisingly, I'm probably on the opposing side of the Dundoko Island thing. I felt like I didn't like it. I was like, it kind of forced it on me. And I'm like, all right, I want to leave now. I want to go.
I haven't played it yet. Yeah, I haven't played it yet, but I want to.
Okay. Yeah. It kind of forces at you in a little aggressive way. And I was just like, I don't know about this just yet. But other than that, I've been pretty much a lot of my time's been there. And then the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth demo for PlayStation came out. So I got that. I just finished doing
it. That game just sounds stupidly big. Yeah, like 150 gig, two discs. But I just keep hearing people talking about all the different stuff you can do in that. There's like, bro, I saw somebody playing Wave Race, it looks like, in there, basically. Yes. Going, I'm like,
bro,
that game's going to just have everything in it.
It's crazy. I just finished doing with Brad Ellis, formerly of Easy Allies. We did a smaller cast kind of the demo and all the stuff that's coming. And I will say this, it is so much fan service. This particular demo in terms of an iconic scene from the original.
Okay.
And we wanted to see how they do it, how they handle Sephiroth. And, you know, for those who don't know, you know, the changes that happened to him. So I thought it was well done. You know, it's going to be this is probably one of the most controversial games of all time. The last time I did a spoiler cast with LSM, Hogue was part of it because Hogue is Team Purity.
Okay.
Hogue is like, yo, don't mess with it. All you had to do is tell the same story and you're fine.
Yeah, so, but if you want the same story, play the old game.
That's what a lot of people tell him, and he got pushback. So
but you could still argue that the new story is bad, which I would.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. What it is, I'm impressed at how ballsy they are with attempting something like this. And again, for those who don't know what's going on, I don't want to spoil it, but they are clearly diverting up to a point from the original game to something else. And it's good. They better land the plane, but I'm here for the ride because I just think it's fun. I'm like, oh, you really playing with the fan base on this one. You know what I'm saying? Kind of thing. So some key characters in spots that maybe they're not supposed to and so on and so forth. But
You guys say if you like the old story, you can just play the old game. And I say, don't remake games. Why not just make a new game?
It's clear.
If you want to tell a new story, just make a different game.
That's because, in a sense,
because my feeling is that they're doing Seven because they know that branding around Seven has a lot of clout and it's a way for them to chase dollars.
Oh, absolutely.
And that I have a problem with.
Absolutely. I am guilty as charged. My favorite Final Fantasy, and I don't want to stop. I can't get enough of them, these characters in this world. And I think they are preying on that. For sure. Absolutely. And I'm guilty of charge. I'm like, I'm here for it. I want to know what foolishness it is.
Oh, I mean, if there's a Chrono Trigger, I'm shutting the world down and playing it. And I will be as hypocritical as possible when it comes to playing that one. And I get it. But...
Okay, but what if it was a Chrono Trigger remake where they changed the story and you didn't like the new one?
Right, and they doing something in characters.
Wouldn't you feel like you just got taken for a ride and they sold you Chrono Trigger and then you didn't actually get Chrono Trigger?
I mean, okay.
Also, what if they tried to sell you Chrono Trigger in three parts across multiple years and charged you $70 for each part?
If you've played the time travel in that game, that probably wouldn't. I wouldn't put it past him what they've done.
Exactly.
It's not as big. It's not as long of a game. All I'm saying is
there's a lot to complain about how this remake was done. It's, you know what I mean? Whether it's the delivery model, the changes to the story, and the fact that it was sold as a straight, you know, retelling of that story, which it is clearly not. I just think there's a lot to, I understand why people I don't care myself because like you said, I could just play the old version, but I can say that I think the new version isn't as good as the old one and that maybe a straight remake might've been better. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. For me, it's like, I get what you're saying. I do. Like, if you don't like the story and you can, I mean, everybody's entitled to their opinion about how a story goes and that's fine. If it comes to something like me, I'm biased on Chrono Trigger, but there are certain things in that story. If they made some changes, I would be curious to go along. I think I'm kind of with you, Cog, where I would be intrigued to see what they would do. If they were gutsy enough to do different things, but still had quality writing to it, I would be okay for a new version of it. But that's the thing. It's like, if it's a quality story with those characters that still has the general idea of, you know, everything that goes on, but you have a couple different twists to keep it feeling more fresh in a modern era, I'm totally, I would be curious to see what that is. And that
is your curiosity worth $250 though?
I guess on Chrono Trigger, yes, yes, it absolutely would be 100%.
Oh yes, take the money. Oh,
that's the thing. Yeah, Chrono Trigger, I would pay easy.
I would much rather, if you're going to tell a new story, just make a new IP, because I'm kind of sick of sequels anyway.
I mean, yeah, it's like you go look at what Disney announced: Moana 2, Toy Story 5. I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of too many sequels. I totally get that at a point, but there are certain points where, I mean, how old is Final Fantasy VII at this point? 25, 30 years? Are we? I don't know if it's that old.
It's been so long. What year that thing came out?
Travis wasn't born yet.
That's not true. I remember I was in middle school when that game came out. But they did. No, it was PS2.
PS1.
No, PS2 was Final Fantasy X. You're right. Yeah. I was in elementary school.
Nearly 30. Okay, 97.
Yeah.
97.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I was 6 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
97.
Wow. Yeah, I was a young boy.
You were not in middle school.
That was not in middle school. No. I was thinking of Final Fantasy X. Yeah. That one I was definitely in middle school for, I remember. I'm a little sus about them using the old property to get sales today. It's like you're playing on nostalgia to get people. I don't know. Just
okay, but that, just, I was like, I guess I have to push back a little bit. In the world of game development, which we know a whole lot of stuff fails, cost money all the time, and a company like Square makes some bad decisions sometimes. We've seen them like go down the NFT path and everything else. For them to at least try and like do a modernized version of a fan favorite, and there's a lot of people who it's some of their favorite games, I feel like it's not all bad. So it's they could do a lot worse. For sure, a lot of people actually are very happy for it.
You can do worse, but I reserve the right to say that you're boring, cowardly, creatively bankrupt. All these things, I can say that you are those if you want to just remake all your games over and over again.
I mean, so, but if they're reinventing stuff, are they creatively bankrupt?
It's really not the remake in the traditional sense.
Yeah, if you're making a sequel for your game and you're selling it as a remake, I also have problems with that, because that seems to me as manipulative marketing.
But if it's not a sequel, it's like a retelling.
It's a sequel. They're just calling it a remake. If you bought the Final Fantasy VII remake,
Rebirth isn't a sequel to the original. It's the second part of the original, right?
I know that, but it's effectively a sequel because it's telling a different story. So if you bought the remake and you thought it was going to be a remake of the same game, and then you found out it's a different game, actually it's only one third of it, but it's a different game, doesn't that seem a little manipulative, a little misleading?
I can see how you were
going to play the same game and you weren't.
I could totally understand an argument. That was the argument like Hogue had, because Hogue was like, all you had to do was just remake the first and you messed it up, right? You know, that kind of thing. But he's still intriguing. He's still playing.
If it was a $200, 200-hour, like, how big would the full game be in the idea that they're going for? If they released the full retelling of the game all in one release, they can't justify, like, you know, a 12-year development cycle for $70 at this point. I mean,
not my problem, though. I don't know. Why are you fighting on the side of the corporation and not the player?
No,
like, if you're a player, that is a case of not my problem.
Do you want part one, part two, part three, or do you want Square to just not do anything and all of a sudden drop a $200 Final Fantasy VII remake, 200-hour adventure? Would you want that at that point?
I reject the premise of the question. Make a different game. Just make
even
a different
30
game.
30 years ago, you know what? No, everything's getting remade. You don't see it.
They re-released the game like 5 years ago on modern consoles. You can go play the old version.
Yeah, you talk about the exact same thing. Like, how did you feel about Resident Evil 2, Resident Evil 4 remake? How did you feel about that?
I thought they were great remakes that are completely a waste of my time.
Okay. I mean, for the most part, I'm with you as far as remakes are concerned. Obviously, we all have our biases of what we like. I do feel if something's been away for like 20, 30 years, you know what I mean? Like, I totally, I don't look at that as like, oh my God, that is so. Now, what I have the problem is
Last of Us 2 being remade. Like, I get that. Like, yeah.
Bro, that just came out like two, 3 years ago.
And they're doing that table for the TV show and exactly what they're doing.
That's what I get. But again, it's to each his own. It's to each his own. And I totally understand.
In fairness, they actually did the $10
who say I can't support it. Yeah.
I don't have a problem with them remaking games. Like, I'm all for game preservation. And so, like, you know, getting Mass Effect Legendary Edition, like, that's cool. Okay. It's certainly, I think we can agree, not exciting. I wouldn't say it's, you know,
pushing the culture forward. Yeah.
These games shouldn't be getting nominated for Game of the Year.
I agree with that. Yeah. RE4 should not have been there.
You know, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is probably going to be on the Games of the Year list this year. I just like to gently push back against culture and the fact that people are so willing to accept it. Like, okay, yeah, well, now remake doesn't actually mean remake. It can be kind of a pseudo sequel, and you don't even have to market it differently. You can call it a remake without admitting that it's actually a sequel. And we can sell it in three parts.
What?
It's a sequel to Final Fantasy VII. It's a different story.
Well, technically, no, because it's a retelling. And then to a point.
Did you finish the first part, Ebontis? It is not the same story.
No, I know, but I was like, from everything I've from an outsider's perspective, and this is why I'm asking, in no way it's like Final Fantasy VII Remake is the first part of the 27 year old game, and then now this one is going to be after Midgard when you get to the open world. That is what this is based around. That is not a sequel. That is not like
it is a sequel. It's a sequel if it is an alternate reality telling of a story. That is not the definition of a sequel.
That's not a sequel. That could be a reinterpretation. A reinterpretation is not a sequel. Those are not the same
thing.
Yes, it is.
If it's a different story, how is it a remake?
Because a sequel would be like it continued from the point of the ending of Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, a sequel is like John Wick 1, John Wick 2. Yeah. That is a sequel. It is part two of a story.
The stories are happening in parallel in different universes, presumably, right? If they're the same characters, same scenarios, but they're...
Okay, then if something is in parallel, it's not a sequel. It is not one and then two. It is one and one. Alternate realities, maybe reinterpretation, but that is not a sequel.
But you have to play the first game to understand how the second one is different. So therefore, they are sequential. You see what I'm saying? You're looking at it from the perspective of the characters in the game. I'm looking at it from the perspective of the player, which is that if you play the game Final Fantasy VII and then you play Remake, it feels like a sequential story to the original, and therefore I would qualify as a sequel.
Okay, you're telling me. I'm asking here because I'm not the expert.
Because it's a diversion. It follows the same thing, and then it gets to a point, and literally says,
"What do you want to do? Call it a spinoff?"
I think it's more of a spinoff.
Okay, then why isn't the game called Final Fantasy Spinoff?
Why isn't it
called Final Fantasy Remake Part 1? It's not even the full game.
Right.
They could call it that, and I would be okay with
that. So then why didn't they? They marketed it just in a manipulative way.
Remake, whatever. Name it.
Dude, it's a weird.
It's not a sequel. It's a sequel.
No, it is sequential. You're looking at it from the perspective of the characters, which is an insane way of looking at it.
Hold on. Pause. Let me ask you this question.
Let's go.
Final Fantasy VII, 27 year, the old PS1 game. When you get to the end of that game.
That's where, I know. Mm-hmm.
You're telling me Final Fantasy VII Remake is after that.
No, see, you're looking at it from the perspective of the characters in the game, which is a stupid thing to do.
Why?
I'm looking at it from the perspective of the player, because if you play Final Fantasy Remake, it is a sequential game. You have to understand how Final Fantasy VII happened to be affected by the events of the diversion in Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Okay, but
and therefore, as
people...
a player, sequential.
No, but that doesn't make sense. Yes. From okay, are you telling me John Wick 1 and John Wick 2 are that's a sequel, right?
Yeah, that's a sequel because
it's from the character's perspective, not your viewer.
No, because it's from the viewer as well, because the viewer has to watch the first movie to understand the context of the second one.
Okay, you don't have to play the 27-year-old game to get the reinterpretation of the new one. You can
start fresh.
No, you don't.
You can start fresh, but you won't understand why it is important that there's a diversion, and therefore you lose a whole bunch of context.
That doesn't mean you're not going to experience the story from Cloud's perspective.
Let me give you an example. Let me give you an example of a real remake. Okay, a real actual remake.
Mm-hmm.
You guys ever see the movie The Mummy in the 1950s?
Yeah, and then the Tom Cruise version. Okay. Yeah.
And then they remade it with Brendan Fraser, and then they remade it with Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Those movies are actually remakes and not sequels because they are completely separate stories that do not play off of each other at all. However, Final Fantasy VII Remake plays off of the fact that you understand the original story and therefore has sequence to it from the viewer's perspective. To say that it's not a sequel because the characters don't go from age 31 to 32 and you see the next chapter of their story is crazy and also not how sequels work.
I struggle with your sequel argument.
No, I don't. This is not. That is not a sequel. No, it is not a sequel. I am
it
sorry.
Is a sequel.
No, go look
it's
up the definite.
If it's not the same story and it's another story that plays off of the first one, that's a sequel.
I think here's the other problem that the argument I see.
Okay, is Final Fantasy VII a prequel? Is it a previous part of the story before Final Fantasy VII Remake? No.
You have to play it to understand the next
one. No, you don't.
So I would say it has a prequel relationship.
They're literally making these current games for people who didn't play the old ones. That is why they are doing this.
I think that is a lie, and I think you shouldn't listen to marketing.
Listen, here's the other thing.
You're listening to marketing.
They are different stories. You can,
if you get your facts from,
you can be wrong. That's fine. That's fine.
No, you can lick the boots of the PR department. Enjoy that, dude.
Here's another elephant in the room.
Who do you work for?
In the room is that we have not completed said remake, rebirth, whatever, right? So we don't know if the divergence remains, or we don't know if they loop back. There is a theory going around that all the events ultimately will still happen, right? So I think both of us, it's not conclusive to make this determination until the entire game is out.
I mean,
if you've seen
the trailer for Rebirth, you know that it's going to have, I mean, it's a very divergent from the first game.
I feel you where they are right now, but I don't know where it ends. And that's the question. Does the ending mirror, go back and mirror everything that happens? Or does it stay divergent? Is my question. So
I don't know the answer to that, but my point stands either way, that the significance of the divergence only matters if you play the first one, and therefore it is a separate game and not a remake.
We gotta move on.
Yeah, I'm done with you.
Here's where we at with it. Everybody's on each side.
I'll give you spinoff if that's how you wanna describe
it. We can compromise a spinoff. I like spinoff.
Spinoff is fun.
He ain't there yet, but I like spinoff.
Anywho,
he's like, I'm done.
It's at the very least a spinoff.
No doubt. It's a controversial title, but I think last point I'll say.
All I can say is this is not where I thought this discussion was going to go tonight.
By the way, I can tell you
100%.
By the way, Cog, I actually don't think it's a controversial title. I'm like the only person who I think feels this way that I've talked to.
As far as a controversial title, as far as what?
I don't think it's controversial at all.
People seem
to love that game. What is the controversy for that?
No, I mean, in this terms of controversy, in terms of how bold it is from a narrative standpoint to attempt something.
Well, how big the changes are?
Yeah, like this beloved. I think that I've never seen that. That's really playing with your audience, and that's almost like
the audience is realizing it's not a remake.
Right.
It's
also not a sequel.
In the title. Yeah. It is a sequel.
No, it's not.
It's fun stuff.
What would rebirth mean then? Wouldn't the thing have to be born to be reborn?
Here we go.
Therefore, wouldn't the prequel have to exist for it to be reborn?
Oh, now you're just reading into the titles that the corporate, people have given reading the corporate overlord's title on the box and taking that for what
almost,
it is.
It's almost like it's almost like they're using marketing to manipulate you. Crazy.
Crazy. I have played none of these, but from everything I've understood,
crazy.
That is not the story.
Wow, wild, dude, wild.
I love the messiness today. So yeah, I was playing those two games.
Yeah, you were having a good time, weren't you?
That's what I was playing, y'all. Love y'all.
I will also speak on Infinite Wealth because he is playing it in the room I'm in right now. She's doing the dating profile game. She's doing the dating game. I'm watching her talk to people creepily send photos of their armpits and thighs to her. I mean, it's a game made by the Japanese. You know what they're up to,
bro.
They wear their fetishes on their sleeve, bro. It's crazy.
Why did I be in a seedy corner of an area of a very bad neighborhood And I walk up to the dude. He's like, yo, you know, I got that honk honk for you for $500.
Yeah, for sure, dude. I'm trying to get my honk honk on, dude. He's like, yo, I'll give
you the best honk honk you ever have. Like, yo, what is this game doing? So I slid him the $500. And then all my personality went up, all my attributes went. I said,
you did it?
Yo. But I
did
that.
Oh my god, you honk honk?
I honk honk.
Wow, dude.
It's bad. It's chicks all over there. They asking for the honk honk. I didn't know what it was. I had to find it. And it was such a seedy area. This NPC was at.
Yeah, that's I have seen those, but I've avoided the honk honk because Asuga, as he was intended, needs to remain an incel until the story says otherwise. Because they actually canonize him of being a virgin in this game, which I was pretty surprised about. They lean pretty hard into it, but I'm really liking the story so far. I absolutely love the Pokemon minigame. I haven't gotten into the Animal Crossing stuff yet. I'm watching D play the dating sim game right now, which strikes me as the most bizarre part of it, but it's still at least not as bad as the
which one?
What was the girl game and the man who raised his name?
The one where you really at the
one that
with the full motion people. Video with the chicks and
makes you very uncomfortable to play. There's weird stuff like that, but on the whole, it's just like a effortlessly like super fun and full of joy, and I'm really, really liking it so far.
Absolutely, so much fun. I can't wait to see where they go with it. So what else going on, man? Anything else going in that other game that we supposed to be talking about?
In Destiny?
No, definitely not.
Did I cover the start? Did I say it already? I know we talked pre-show. I'm saying, did I cover it live?
We haven't talked about it live at all.
Okay. So live show, now that we're here, we have Riven's Wish Part 2, and this is the other one that's probably pretty moderate in the grand scheme of requirements, because all you've got to do is find 7 Ascendant Chests, which means drink your tincture of Queen's Foil and then go do a little bit of platforming in all the different sections of the Dreaming City. It's probably almost faster, and it's definitely less tedious than grinding out Lost Sectors that like last week, so that's pretty much it. We did get a TWAB, and that one kind of covered some updated weapon loot pools that are going to be coming. But Game to Give did wrap up on the 4th. I think that was that Sunday? 3.1 plus million all raised for Bungie Foundation, for iPads for Kids, for Direct Relief, and all of that stuff.
So shout out to Jared and the team.
Yeah, like that's, I mean, record for sure. Wow. I know for them, they had the Drifter on the Bungie Foundation podcast. They had Habercorn. His first name.
All right.
Yep. So he was on there. I think, what did they say? Hot sauce fueled adventure with the Drifter himself. So if you go back and check out the VOD on Twitch, you can go see how questionably that one went. But they had a wheel spin of stuff they had to do. So. Yeah, that was a big one. A lot of generosity from a lot of people. If you were part of mine, I reached out to the winners, so I have reached out to those of you guys who did. I already know, like, Electric Fish, for example, is getting final shape from me on one platform by the time it comes around. So,
yeah,
figuring out all those. Other than that, as I said, so starting on, I guess they say early March, not a specific date, so pick your Tuesday. They're going to update the loot pools for Trials, Iron Banner, and Nightfall. Some of, like, the Summoners coming back to Trials, but they've also got a aggressive Stasis Scout. Iron Banner and Nightfall have some unique stuff. Iron Banner has a Strand Wave Frame special ammo grenade launcher.
I'm assuming kinetic spot, right?
Yeah, it would have to be.
Yeah,
for Strand, and I'm guessing you'd have stuff like Hatchling on there for multi-kills, probably. I'm guessing.
We ain't gonna get no chain reaction, though. That's too much. That's too much.
Oh, it'd be so nice if you
that
could.
That would be crazy.
You gotta,
be too
much. I mean, they
save
need,
it for the
they need a
that's
chain
about.
Reaction in that spot, because I'm trying to think. The other everybody's Forbearance is the other one, right? That's the big
popular. Forbearance is Arc in the energy slot.
Yeah, if you could do chain reaction, that'd be kind of really nice. And then Multi-Mach is coming back, but I think they've done so much to SMGs and zoom and range, and I don't think it's like a big standout anymore. Nightfall has 2, so from Grasp, what the hell is that dungeon? Fire of the Watcher, is that the right word?
Yeah, well, build and climb in.
It's the big tower. Yeah, it's the
eyeball at the top.
Cowboy outfits. Rooms.
Yeah, cowboy outfits.
Mm-hmm. So they're doing one kind of like that. They're doing a special ammo double fire frame. This one's going to be solar, though, which at least could see more functionality out of solar versus whatever the other one was, which I think was maybe void. I can't remember. They're also doing a stasis vortex sword. So pretty much if you look at this, you're like, what gaps do we have in our weapon catalog? And we're going to try and plug some of those holes. That's what it sounds like they're doing. So this will be March 5th update. They're also going to update these into, you know, like the release schedule. So if you're doing Nightfalls and Iron Banner and stuff like that, you'll see those weapons coming in the March rotation. Mm-hmm. And they said these are additional. They're not taking anything away until Final Shape. So you'll have just a bigger loot pool of stuff if you want to grind for those. And then they mention upcoming loot pools. So to account for the length of this season and that upcoming episodes will be longer than previous Destiny 2 seasons, because the episodes are going to be, what, 18-ish weeks, we think, as opposed to about 12. We're increasing the Nightfall weapon pool to 8 weapons. The plan is for Trials to return to 6 weapon rotation to allow Adept weapons to have more chances to be featured. Nightfalls, you'll have a bigger rotation. And then taking into account the weeks of Trials is off, they're going to let you go after more. So it sounds like for the longer seasons, you're going to have slightly bigger loot pools, which kind of I don't know if I love, because it means if there is something you want, you got to wait now 2 months for it to come around, as opposed to even 6 weeks if there's something you're grinding for.
Yeah, so, that's true.
Iron Banner comes back on April 2nd and 30th. I will say, for everyone, starting on March 5th, so you got a month, just log in every week, and you'll be getting 700 Bright Dust each week. They're just doing a weekly login bonus in the store.
Attendance?
They have the Lunar Festival right now, which I think you should probably do too. So, there's a free Bright Dust in there. I forget. I think it was like 800, I think, this time. But yeah, they're doing 700 a week from March 5th to Final Shape, which I think the math-wise, it was 9,000 Bright Dust.
Mm.
So it's worth logging in for. 9,000's, you know, a set of armor and a half, depending on what you're doing for some of these cosmetics. So that's actually pretty good. Oh, I thought I was 9,100. I may have had my math wrong. So 8,400, 9,100, I could have been math wrong.
It's one way to get your player engagement up.
Yeah.
Weekly login metrics. Like that is the weekly login metric on the spreadsheet. Be like, oh, and be like, how long did they log in for? How many people logged in for longer than 20 seconds? That's going to be a different metric. Also, the armor. This is one of those things that's almost like a reminder that it's a slap in the face. The armor synthesis bounty will refresh on the 5th. So if you've hit the cap for the current season, you can now go for more armor synthesis. It's just transmog, and why is it not easier?
Shout out
to Ada. It would be one of those. I guarantee you, if they dropped on Twitter that transmog, be like, hey, no more cap. Just no more cap alone. Yeah, just like not even the fact that you still have to do the bounty and stuff like that. Like no more cap. If they just said that in here, that'd be a small victory. Why not?
It's just
I want to see the chores. Financials on the armor synthesis thing that is limited and people buy that. Maybe it makes them $1 million a month, but I highly doubt it.
Yeah, it's engagement.
That's kind of frustrating. Couple known issues and stuff. Like I'm not gonna go through all the details on that. And then the movie of the week is not the one I thought it would be. The movie of the week should have been, I don't know if you guys saw this on Twitter. I got to link it to you. It's just like a fun video. And I don't know if it's like making fun of a certain song. Here it is. Here, I'll send it to you guys and you can watch it and I'll link it in chat. So it's just a goop. Somebody had fun with an emote and it was edited well. That's all this is. And it's just kind of fun. Yeah, so simple little video, just kind of a fun edit, and I'm like, that probably should be movie of the week versus pretty much what's here. Movie of the week right now is I use Cryosthesia and Assassin's Cowl and Iron Banner and totally had a great time, and it's just like a montage of, they're poking fun at stuff in that one, which it's fine. I just thought the other one was creative and should have, like, it was, there was only one movie of the week mentioned, and that one wasn't, so I was just kind of sad.
Yeah, it's cool.
It was just a fun one that I thought was there.
Also, it must take a lot of time to get all those places.
With I know. Locations. It's like, and they have the edit just damn near perfect, too. So I was.
Yeah, the edit's good.
I know you talked about it for 3 hours. Mm-hmm. I don't need to reopen the thing until next week. I just wanted to, like, is how, I don't know, I was just going to say, tell people to go watch that, because I haven't watched all of it yet because really I've been busy,
it's
but
really good.
It was a good discussion from the start that I saw.
Yeah, shout out to Colin, shout out to the Sacred Boys, you know, the Dukes and the Sacred Symbols got together, you know, talking about, obviously, what potentially could be something changing, you know, in the Xbox ecosystem. We don't know the facts just yet. We don't want to jump out the window, but the sourcing that has come out, for the most part, you know, is solid. We just got to see what actually happens. But yeah, it's a big point. Some people are extremely concerned. Some people are, hey, let's just wait for Xbox to make an announcement to see what actually is happening regarding third-party plans or not. And yeah, man, highly recommend you guys listen to it. And I understand, you know, I guess my position is nothing really changes for me. You know, say I'm a fan of the ecosystem. I'm not going anywhere. I mean, I come from the worst case scenario when consoles used to go away.
Oh yeah.
And I don't view this as that.
I remember Sega guy. My buddy had a Dreamcast and Crazy Taxi, but Dreamcast like just died.
Yeah, like again, that's what the difference. This is just a philosophical shift. I do think,
for the record,
yes,
this still happens in our industry. It happened recently to the Stadia.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And that I think, go ahead, Trav.
I was just saying that's what a console going down looks like. And I would say that this is nothing like
this. Nothing like that. So to me, I look at even the worst case scenarios. I don't see them jumping out of the console business. I just see a shift in strategy. But I do think, yes, they got to be concise, because they have made statements in the past that have people confused as to what direction they're going in terms of how exclusives are handled, how publishing exclusives and third-party exclusives are handled, that whole bit, how Game Pass. And yeah, so where I'm at is, you know, I'm here. I'm gonna see what they say. And this is not as worse as that to me. You know what I'm saying? To me, if the announcement is like, yo, we are out of the console business, we are completely doing, then it's like, all right, I'll rock out till the wheels fall off, and then I'll figure out a home, like a refugee. Yeah. But it's like that was me as a Sega kid. When Sega went out, I was like, all right, well, Xbox looks familiar. They got a controller. They got a thing. You know, they use Windows.
They have a controller. They all have a controller.
Yeah, they got a controller that look like the Xbox, you know, that kind of thing. This ain't that. This is, okay, we may need to do some things or edit some strategies for sustainability, potentially. But we'll see. I don't want to get too crazy until an official announcement, whatever this business meeting, supposedly next week, and that's it. But I would talk to Trav about this. So I'm very, very curious how you take this.
Unsurprisingly, my takes are mild at best, but I view it as they're probably just going to be bringing some of their first party games to other platforms, probably not all of them. And I don't see how that is any different than what PlayStation is doing with PC platform. You know, they're putting on their console first and then putting it elsewhere. I also think it, even if they put every game that they have onto other platforms eventually, that it would not change their need for a console, because they are currently right now the leader in subscription services, and they need a box to sell that subscription on.
Right.
Model being, you can pay $70 for our games on PlayStation, or you can Game Pass on our console. And I think that's still is more than enough reason for them to stay in the console business. And I think anybody who's reading into it as them getting out of the console business is sort of making a lot of leaps and jumping around and stuff in weird ways. I fully expect, first of all, there's some games that have to go on other consoles, and it's just economic. For example, live service games. Yeah,
absolutely.
Microsoft is the only big first party console owner right now. The only console owner that is actually developing live service games in a serious way. They're actually like trying it, and they're pretty good at it from time to time. And I think their failures have a lot of times been due to the fact that they are the smallest platform holder, and they're looking at ESO and they're going, why the hell are we doing this to ourselves and our games? And I think it makes a lot of sense for them to get outside of their ecosystem, because they've got a trail of dead bodies when it comes to their live service. That, I mean, some of them, like Bleeding Edge, you know, that game was just never going to make it. But, you know, they're trying.
Who was that?
That was Team Ninjas.
That was the Team Ninja. It was Ninja Theory.
Ninja Theory. Yeah, yeah.
Ninja Theory, and they, yeah, that game went down in flames for a multitude of reasons. I'm not going to say it just because it was only on Xbox, but certainly that hurt them. It's different with PlayStation because they're much bigger than Xbox and they can afford to really easily keep the game off of Xbox and not lose a ton of money. For Xbox to do it, though, I mean, that's a practice and flagellation. They're really hurting themselves when they do that. So I fully suspect that the rumors are probably mostly true and that they're going to be putting a number of games on PlayStation, probably late. Definitely not on Game Pass, which means you have to pay full price. I don't think that changes a lot. I think Xbox is going to be making more money.
Fanboys ain't going to get to battle no more. They're not. Yeah,
and I'm okay with it. I'm so tired of that crap.
The fanboys will get to battle. They'll say, "How was it paying $70 to support my ecosystem?"
Oh, you already got your balls.
That's what they're going to do. I don't have bars.
You beta tested for us. If we get you know how I go.
Yeah, I beta tested for free. You paid $70. That's what they're gonna say. It's still gonna be a fight. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's gonna be a fight.
There you go, stop. You're right.
And I'm still gonna be annoyed by it, but I don't think that people on the Xbox side should be freaking out the way that they are because more people are gonna get to play their game. And I don't think people on the PlayStation side should be taking a lap that they're going to get to play, you know, that they're because I just think I saw Phil and Satya in San Francisco this year, last year when they were in court, and their comments were pretty transparent on how much they hate the exclusivity model. Satya especially went like, "I do not have any love for this. I would not do it if PlayStation wasn't leading the way on it." And I think at a certain point, they're probably just looking at the numbers. They're being like, "Look, we're a big enough publisher now that we can afford to do this. And because of Game Pass, it's not that big of a deal if we put our game on another platform because it's still cheap on our platform and not on theirs. We still have a value proposition." And so I think they're, as usual, Microsoft is kind of a couple steps ahead in terms of how forward thinking they are. The difference is that about 60% of the time Microsoft is ahead, the consumers they're selling to aren't ready for it yet.
I literally said that on the show. That was my voice.
You can look at a lot of decisions they've made where they just made it a little too soon, and then later somebody else did that exact same thing a couple years later and it exploded. They're like famous for that.
Yes. Good point.
But I think that in this case they're making a change that is based off of results they're already seeing, right? Like we already know that Game Pass is a big success and that people like subscriptions. We already know that people are into live service games and that live service games are more successful when they have as many players as possible having access to them. So I don't think that this is that big of a gamble, and I don't think it's crazy. And I think the internet once again needs to take a damn chill pill and wait for the announcement.
I don't want nobody playing my games. It's my
that is such
games.
A stupid mentality. Yeah, I mean, it's
all crazy to me now.
But that's like, you can't play this or you got, I'm like, don't you want everybody to enjoy a good quality product? We can argue stupidly about sequels, but if a game is good, more people enjoying it is only a good thing. That's
I honestly think that people are just freaking about it because they view it as necessary to the survival of the ecosystem.
Right.
And to those people, I would say, it sounds like you don't understand the industry or how it works, and just calm down. It's going to be fine. Microsoft, I won't say they know what they're doing, but they certainly know the economics. They're the biggest company in the world right now. They know the economics behind this, and I'm sure it's going to be fine.
Yeah, that's the main thing. Like I said, the only thing I will defend people who freak out a little bit is they are concerned about the brand, any type of brand damage long-term. Me and you agree that I don't see them getting out of console business soon, but some people feel that maybe the devaluing of their own console, you know, accelerates that. And I'm like, okay, but there's no data yet to support it. My thing is this, I'm all about what's sustainable. And I rather them pivot to whatever this model is, where it's older games come or live service games come. And one, we have to admit Game Pass is the most consumer friendly deal in gaming, right?
Yeah.
If they're able to maintain that model and in their ecosystem, then that provides value to their ecosystem. And I do feel that if they, like you had a good point, which I said on Sacred, which is we know Microsoft, as far as innovation, where the games industry is going, you can't take that away. They've pretty much knocked that out apart. Hard drive in the box with the original Xbox, Ethernet, when people say, why do you need Ethernet? We should do dial-up. 360 with, you know, HD TVs, Xbox Live, party chat. The industry
Even
has,
the Kinect, I would argue.
The Kinect
was way ahead. It was like 5 years before Alexa, and it was Alexa. It was such a good idea.
It's literally Alexa now. And so Microsoft is always on point of where it is. But to your point, Travis, what I said is that sometimes they're a little too aggressive, and is it too soon? Because the way I look at this, there is some data to support that maybe they see a ubiquitous future where some of the walled gardens come down. We have to admit, even when Bungie went with Sony, we were surprised a little bit. Some of us were surprised, like, oh, wow, they didn't lock that down. Yeah, like,
Sony's been doing stuff on PC.
Exactly. So if they know everyone will eventually do this with live service or select titles, they are uniquely positioned based on their cloud infrastructure, the Game Pass model, to be able to facilitate that everywhere. And I think that's what it is. I think we're creatures of habit, and some people are scared of a future of an unknown that they are not comfortable with, and they automatically assume, okay, this is the wrong decision, but it might be the right one. As long as it sustains them, I'm fine. And if they stay around, that's how I'm looking at it. But I will also push back
on your worry that this is going to hurt their branding in the long term or short term. I actually think it'll do the opposite. Here's why. Because one, they're now showing themselves, which is, I think, a very positive consumer facing thing, that we're not gating games. We're living by what we said we're going to do, that what we care about is more people playing everywhere. And maybe that's bullshit. Maybe it's really just about doll. And it probably is. But cool. Either way,
I was going to say Starfield's the counter point to them saying that, but yeah.
But it sounds like that game's coming to PlayStation.
Oh, I mean, it does now. That sounds like the pivot is happening now. That's my point.
The pivot is happening. And so they can stand by and say, hey, we did exactly what we said we're going to do. We got our games to more players. Of course, we're going to put them on our platform exclusively first, but that's just business. So they get to do that. The other thing is that Game Pass still gives them a beneficial, you can say, yeah, our games are playable everywhere, but when you play them on Xbox, you don't have to pay $70 for them. That's still a huge reason.
That's huge.
And also, now they're going to be exposing PlayStation diehards who would never touch their platform to Xbox games.
Good point.
Those people are going to say, you know what? I really like Gears of War, and I see they're all on Xbox, and I don't have to buy them all on Xbox. Maybe I'll pick up an Xbox. So I actually think this might be the smartest thing Xbox ever does.
It might be.
Again, that's me completely speculating on an announcement that they haven't made yet. But I'm saying, if they did make it, I think people are crazy if they don't understand the business argument behind it would actually be a huge positive PR move for them and a good move for their branding in the long term.
I mean, everything you're saying is like making sense for sure, because having that game literally just say 70 here, $15 a month over here, and you can play that one and many more. I think they probably said on the podcast early on, like, that is one of the best things that you can put on just like a TV screen to say, you want it over there or anywhere else you can pay over here. It's just a subscription. Now, for some people, the subscription being, what is it, 15, 16? What is it up to now? What is Game Pass right now 15, per month?
I forget, 15, maybe.
$15.99, I pay it, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, if you do that, or if you have Ultimate for PC or whatever it is, some people say, hey, maybe I only buy the one or two games a year. And they're like, that's one person who's like, I'm going to play my Madden, I'm still going to do my thing. Maybe that's less appealing to them, but you probably weren't working to them anyway.
But those one or two games might include Call of Duty, which they now own. And
exactly. Yeah. That'll be a different one. No, that's what I was actually going to say is, like, everything you're saying makes perfect sense. And I don't see the Xbox going away. But the thing that is always, I don't know why people are freaking out so much. If Xbox still makes their games and they got out of hardware, which I'm not saying they're going to do. Mm-hmm. But hardware is always a profit loss. You lose money on almost every console that goes out the door, except the like late generations one, when the technology finally gets cheap. Like early on, it's only the software that makes them money, and they're trying to sell more games to make up for the losses. So I'm not saying
I do understand the fear there, because you cannot have a successful service if you don't control, you can't guarantee that there's a place to sell your service on. Right now, Nintendo and PlayStation have said no thanks on selling an Xbox.
And I get that. I was just saying, like, if for the company wise, I'm just like, what about Microsoft? I'm like, if you really care about a billion-dollar corporation, that's up to you. Mm-hmm. But, or trillion, I should say.
Three trillion.
They passed that market cap the same.
Yeah.
Was it the same afternoon with all the layoffs? Mm-hmm. That was bad timing. But it was just kind of one of those, it's like, the hardware is always the most expensive thing. That's why I don't know why everybody was thinking about that, worried about that.
No, I mean,
But I know it's not a practical thing. So that's why I was like, it doesn't make sense.
You need a platform for Game Pass to make sense. I get why people would be afraid of that. But I don't think bringing your games to other platforms is at all related. I just think they're completely different strategies.
Yeah, no, I get it. The thing I will defend some of the people who are afraid, not all, some are a bit over the top, but the problem has been, we got to be clear though, the Xbox messaging has been terrible in terms of where
we'll talk to you in a
going.
Week.
Right. And they have to be concise. Whatever this is, which I agree from an economic standpoint, makes sense. Yeah. For them surviving makes sense, but they have to be clear because they've had so many conflicting statements where the CFO is saying, you know, we want it on consoles and PlayStation, Nintendo, and then Phil Spencer comes out and says, well, you know, maybe with Game Pass, you know, we don't have any plans at this time. There's been, even when the Bethesda to ZeniMax thing was announced, people were like, hey, what's the status? The only question that I think people are concerned about is that if they are not clear, that means every single Xbox release that comes out, everybody goes, well, is that going to PlayStation? Is it not? What's the criteria here? And that's my only thing with them. They have to knock that out because people will challenge them and say, well, last year you said Starfield was exclusive, or 2 years ago, right, on stage to Xbox ecosystem. What happened now? You see? So that's the thing.
Two years of business.
It seems like they little fiefdom sometimes, and their messaging is a little, you know, trouble sometimes.
They do. PlayStation does that too. They announce games are exclusive to PlayStation, and then they put them on PC, and they market them as exclusive. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, frankly, because it is certainly true that at launch, at the time you're putting out those marketing materials, it is exclusive, and then you change your mind. I think them setting the precedent that, like, hey, games are always, or on a case-to-case basis, going to come to PlayStation, but they're always going to be on Xbox first, and that's how we're marketing it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. That's just part of the game of, like, if you're a PC player who likes PlayStation games, you kind of have to hope that eventually some of those games are going to come to PC. I don't know that that would accomplish what they're trying to do. I suspect it will be more broad. I think it'll be pretty much like all of our major future stuff, at least from Activision, Blizzard, and ZeniMax, are going to be PlayStation games. But people are freaking out about this. I don't think they understand the business part of what they're doing.
No, it was just a big topic this week, so I didn't mean to dwell on it too long, but it was
you're good.
It was fun.
Yeah,
it's one of the things I enjoyed talking about.
Me too. I actually loved it. It was actually a fun week for me.
Also shout out to IGN. Did want to shout you guys out working to all work together as kind of a collective there. That was cool to see you guys go for that one. So the IGN Creators Union, if you haven't seen it on Twitter yet, they got a petition to work on that one, and I don't think they're that far away from hitting it, so I feel like that was just kind of inevitable at that point. But I mean, from anybody,
petition, by the way, is not to make the union. The union already exists. It's just to basically let Ziff Davis, the parent company, know that there's public support behind them recognizing the union.
Yeah. But I mean, it's like, if you've asked, you could probably say it just as much as anybody. It's like the hours you put in for a game review, for what you get paid, for the hours that a lot of people pull in that industry, it is a job of passion, typically. Same with game developers the same way. And we've seen way too many layoffs. So anyway, I mean, I think Raven, the QA studio that got kind of ripped apart, and then they worked on kind of forming a union, any of that stuff to protect in such a tough industry. I'm not saying like any industry right now is not easy, but it's like in the game dev industry, it's typically, anybody will tell you, it's like, oh, you can go work in banking and make twice as much. I've heard so many devs say that in different podcasts and places. You could always go make so much more doing something else, but they do it because it's something they love doing, and if it helps more people stay in the industry, because way too many layoffs last year, not enough jobs to fill them, you're probably going to lose some people in the industry on any different side of it. I mean, you said you got Brad Ellis coming from Easy Allies, but that's one of how many of those other people, I don't know where they all went, kind of thing. So
yeah, no, that's a good point.
All of those pieces, any creator is going to be in a very tough spot, and protections for the tough industries are a good thing to look for. So
yeah,
it was cool to see.
And just say that if you're, you know, if you are frustrated by the current state of our capitalism, you should be a fan of unions. And even if you're not, and you're like me, and you're somebody who really quite adores capitalism, you should recognize that unions are a really important part of that, right? Like, if you believe in a meritocracy and people getting what they contribute, getting paid for what they contribute, then you should believe that workers should stand up for their role in the economy and get fair wages and all that. So I'm a big fan of unions and think this is a cool thing that we're doing. And I hope unions they seem to be making a comeback. Unions have been in decline in this country for over 30 years, I think. But most of my life I've seen unions going down, but it seems like they're going up again, which is cool. And maybe you're a direct result of some of the malarkey that's going on, income inequality and all that. So it's cool. Cool.
Yeah, man.
Sure. I like economies. Depression. Economies are cool.
Economies are cool. We like that.
I like economies.
No doubt.
What else is going on? I'm trying to think.
I think that's it. Let's get back to playing Lucky Dragon.
Yeah, it's like I got a review to write and more and like three more things to play. I have a code for something.
Banishers. He's writing a review for Banishers.
Yeah, Ghosts of
Ghosts of New Eden. Sorry,
I'm horrible at accents. So you
main
go
character
nuts.
Is Scottish. So yes. I have to. I've been trying out my Scotsman accent.
I like the main. I will say, I was like the main character's voice. It fits like as he's doing the accent and stuff like that. It's like as soon as you start going, I'm like, I think that like you. I don't know what accent you pick. Like they could have gone British. They could have gone something else. But for some reason, the Scott kind of works there, and I don't know why. Because of where it's based, it's based in kind of like northern wilderness of the Americas.
Boston.
It's like it's 1695 for stuff going on, which you probably figure out once you jump in. But yeah, it's like we'll talk about that next week. But I got that
Witches
one.
And ghosts.
Yeah, Steam. If you got a PC, Steam Next Fest. There's a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah, I gotta go.
The ones that I would recommend checking out: Pacific Drive. That is a demo, and I did a preview of that one. That is the Station Wagon survival game.
That is a demo, Ebontis just said.
Yep, that is a demo.
That is a demo.
Oh, okay.
Wise words.
Demo.
I love how much he's trying not to say things about it. That is a game.
Is it right now?
No, I mean, I cover the preview. It is the Station Wagon survival game. It's in the Pacific Northwest. There's this, 300-meter wall. You're walled off. There's these kind of like gravity weird anomalies. It kind of has that Half-Life is going too far, but it's like it's just weird like that. It's a weird vibe, and the whole survival thing. The thing I will tell you about Pacific Drive is there are settings you can turn on in Pacific
Oregon
Drive.
Trail is what I'm hearing.
No, not quite.
Sci-fi Oregon Trail.
I don't think there's any dysentery in this one. If you want to jump in and not worry quite as much about the survival damage side of your car.
Yeah. Okay.
There are settings you can turn on where you turn off car damage, you turn off player damage, and then just it makes the progression a lot smoother, which is what I did after I had some kind of wheel spinning frustration when I did my early preview. And I kind of explained that, but there's also those settings. So you can turn off and on a bunch. Kind of like Prince of Persia had a bunch of settings where you could have very little damage or a whole hell of a hard time. This has a lot of settings, too. So if you're curious about it, get the demo and then mess with the settings to see what kind of works for you. You've got that. You've got Ultros is, that's why I said that, really vibrant Metroidvania. There's another one called Indica, which is some weird, psychological horror thing. Children of the Sun, somebody said, was kind of like super hot, but with a sniper rifle and you control the bullet through time or something. There's some interesting ones out there. That's all I'm saying is if you got access to Steam, dig into it. It is overwhelming, but there's definitely a few people who are doing lists right now if you need some stuff to check into. It's cool to see some games that I think will kind of be those indie gem kind of end of the year announced. Nomination type stuff, best indie games of the year. Some of these are going to be in there, kind of thing.
You see some creative stuff.
Yeah, there's some stuff in there. Worth checking out.
Mm-hmm.
No dysentery yet. Thanks, Twitch. that's about all I got, though. I know we all got work to do. Just everybody cross your fingers for Raya.
Yeah, for Raya. Yeah, for sure. I got some love.
Yep. So blood work tomorrow morning.
My paws.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Blood work tomorrow morning.
Death comes for us all.
Oh, I know. It's just kind of one of those. It's yeah. It's
what is sudden. I mean, what's something.
Little is early. It's not like. I mean, granted, I will say, like I mentioned to my wife too. It's like she had like her dog growing up went through a slow decline where things just progressively slowly got worse, and that's also hard.
Yeah, because you see it.
So you see it kind of get slower. You see them get weaker where accidents and stuff start happening. Like, that stuff is also hard. So it's kind of, you know, it's honestly the best thing I can tell you about Raya is she's stubborn as all hell. And she's going to pick whenever she's ready. And she's and that's kind of her thing. Like, she's like, hey, I've had my time here. That's going to be her. So we'll see tomorrow. But that's all I got. You guys got any sign-offs or news upcoming? I think we'll be talking about more stuff next week. We still will touch on Destiny, but obviously there's a lot of other stuff going on, and Destiny doesn't have a lot. So we'll be here. We just may not be be as Destiny-focused.
Yeah, we're doing the stretch.
Yeah.
We're doing the extended stretch of where no content is between the Final Shape. When's Final Shape supposed to come out again? I forgot.
June 4th.
June 4th.
No, when was it originally before the delay?
February 28th.
Oh, February.
Yeah, it was like, it was technically soon. It was,
that's when Joe's leaving. Like, Joe's leaving in February.
Oh.
Yeah, he's
he
not
probably was planning on leaving when the game was
he was probably doing that.
Oh, it was all that makes sense. That makes sense with the old release date. Okay.
Yep. Interesting. Yeah, I saw that he was leaving at the end of February. I was like, oh, well, that's, and then I think that's what they said there. Overall end-to-end playtest will be done, and then it's more polishing at that point. So he's... Yeah. Kind of feature complete, and then he's leaving after for polish. It is still, we'll see, but you know, Tyson Green's going to be there, and we'll get to whatever's next. But yeah, we got a lot of other stuff to play between now and then. It just all came out this month. That's all.
Insane.
Yep. Go Niners.
Go Niners. Big weekend.
Bang bang Niner game.
With our emotions and our feelings.
Seriously.
Go for the gold. Rush.
Go for the gold, baby. Let's just let's take this thing home, man. Big challenge, but
got a shot. Oh, I mean, yeah. Mahomes does crazy stuff, and it's no joke. So
does our boy. Yeah. How many yards does he run for?
Normally, not as much as he did. That championship game is the most he's probably ever run for.
Yeah, that was crazy, dude.
I love that kid. I'm pulling. It is the ultimate Cinderella story. Like, this is dope,
Mr. Irrelevant, dude, in the Super Bowl,
bro.
Who's the underdog? Come on.
Yeah.
The one I was actually going to say too is I think like all the guys there won it because a lot of them were there 4 years ago. I think Trent Williams is one of the older guys. I think I think he got traded to them a few years ago, but he's just been in the league for so long.
So long.
And he is a beast. I'm hoping.
Did you see when they caught? I'm sorry, I got it.
No, go ahead.
Did you see when they caught Kittle's comments when he was in the Super Bowl last time? He's like, I'm gonna be here, I'm gonna be back.
Yeah, I saw that. He's like, I'm gonna be back. Yep,
I'm pulling for Kittle, you know.
Oh, I know, man. Kittle, too, when he was on, just on the sideline, kind of like literally, he's like, hey, I'm gonna say, hey, they had us at halftime, and he's saying it to Purdy,
yes,
like that kind of mentality in the moment. I was like, it was good. Like, I mean, you know, Debo and McCaffrey and all those guys, they're just like tough as nails and working their butt off. It was just like somebody. The bench for the 49ers, I feel like, has the right heart going into this one. So
yes.
I feel like that's a...
Feels like a good vibe. And I need one of my Do It For The Bay commercials again. Get me hyped. Steve Young gets me hyped every time.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, we've had like all of them. I haven't seen Rice on an interview. Maybe it just doesn't. But I've seen Joe Montana on an extended interview. Mm-hmm. I saw Steve Young on interviews. Like, we're getting all the 49er royalty to come through.
Yeah.
So I'm just like enjoying all the random interviews. My YouTube feed is... Half 49ers, and it's never like that. It's never like that.
Yep. So oh my God.
It's a whole mess.
San Francisco got one of our most beloved baseball players. Willie Mays got a day designated in San Francisco. February 6th.
Really?
Wow.
Willie May Day. Willie Mays.
That's cool.
Just cool down.
It's been a lot of good community stuff going on in FSF lately.
Yeah, you told us a little bit of the vibes around there. If they pull it off, I can only imagine the next level get, man.
Oh yeah.
If we pull it off, like how does it?
I just need you to get video and fireworks and riots in the streets.
I mean, we won the
94 was probably last one.
Yeah, well, no, I'm not talking about the Niners. I don't recall ever being alive during that.
World Series was it or?
Yeah, the World Series we won 3 times in 6 years or something like that, or 5 years. 3 times in 5 years, I think it is. Mm. And every time that happened, the city was it was crazy, dude. It's just so funny. Like the police in San Francisco are the chillest I've ever seen. Like I saw people, you know, tipping over like the Muni train or whatever, and the cops are just kind of. The cops are kind of just leaning against the wall in the back and just kind of like parents watching their kids do drugs, being like, no, don't go too crazy. Don't get it. Don't get it. I'd rather you do it in my house. You know what I mean? Like,
don't
like
set it on fire, but you can tip it over. Don't burn the house down.
They're so chill. They're so chill.
That's so funny.
That's hilarious.
It's a very funny city to be in. But yeah, I'll definitely send you guys some videos and stuff.
Nice.
When we win.
Speaking into existence, baby.
Kittle said, speak it into existence.
Yeah. I want to break up Taylor Swift. I want her to have to re-download Hinge after this game. That's my goal, dude. That's my goal. What are you guys trying to do?
I don't know if I can top that. Yeah.
I just want to see the whole team. I want Kyle to win one and one Brock.
Kyle needs one because he's been close multiple times. Close.
Yeah.
McCaffrey deserves this.
Oh,
McCaffrey is like MVP. He's my entire favorite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He is.
Yeah. McCaffrey's a beast.
Just an absolute beast, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can't wait, man.
I was like, and I'm kind of one of those, like, my wife's parents live in Kansas City. So it's like, you know, depending on who's going on with the year, it's like, okay, you know, it's like a cool go Chiefs or whatever. If the 49ers are nowhere near anything, but I'm like, they, like, I got tired of the Patriots dynasty. And I want a non dynasty up there. We need some fresh in
fresh
there.
Fresh face, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's many times to do it. It's now.
Yep.
Let's do it.
All right. Any quick outros? Are you guys good?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Travis?
I can't. I mean, my review of Banishers is going live on the 12th. I've got some previews of other games can't talk about. Yeah. Ubuntu's review. You can watch that on the 12th for comparison just to know, like, all right, yeah.
Yeah, Travis is good at reviews, and I'm a big amateur over here, so it's fine.
Great. Look how dope. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Well, look how succinct Travis is, and look how not.
Ebon is. Yours is probably hell long, huh? Yeah, you're taking your cues from SkillUp, just doing a 90 hour review.
Actually, I would like to be between you guys. So I feel like the IGN reviews for 10 minutes, I like some that are a little longer. But like if you get to a 45 minute review, I don't need the entire backstory of Destiny in, say, like his Lightfall review. Like I don't need that. I know for the video it makes kind of a cool theatrical production kind of thing, but I don't need that. But like somewhere between you guys and SkillUp, I think would probably be where my long-windedness, if I can squeeze myself down, would probably land, if I can get it reasonable.
I'm trying to save folks time. I'm trying to make it so that they couldn't have played half the game in the time they watched my review. That's the crazy part of SkillUp, dude. I've seen like hour-long reviews for 3-hour games. I'm like, yo, guys, why?
Messy.
What's wrong with Unlocked?
Yeah, what happened, Halo? Yeah. What happened? I don't know what happened.
Who knows?
I mean, the episode, I think they talked about...
They probably talked about the Xbox stuff.
Oh, did they talk about the Xbox stuff?
I think I saw Rand tweet. Khalif was on there. Somebody else.
Rand says him?
No.
Well, Khalif actually, you should watch Unlocked because I was on an episode recently.
Yeah.
So speaking of IGN, definitely do watch Unlocked. Like and subscribe and say, wow, that Travis guy seems really smart and or handsome. You should have him back.
Yeah, he should totally be a permanent member of the show.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And then you can sit next to Stella and also be small and tiny against.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, I'll have you know, compared to her, I am the small one.
I know. Wow. Yeah. I haven't even met her and I know that.
She's pretty ripped.
No,
like, she's short, but she's ripped.
I've seen her. I think it's on Twitter. She's doing, it was deadlifts or squats. I couldn't remember. And I was like, she's definitely got some muscles. So yeah, you can.
I, on the other hand, going for that,
cross country runner's body, you know,
got exiled body, you know, I want you to see my ribs look like I've been, I had to walk from here from somewhere that didn't want me. That's what I'm going for, dude.
And on that bombshell, you guys, check out the YouTube channel for reviews and everything else I got coming up. A lot of stuff to cover, but I can't tell you what it is for a little bit. So thank you guys, gentlemen. It's been fun. I did not expect the argument, but as always, entertaining. Wouldn't have it any other way, guys. and to chat. Thank you guys for watching. And if you watch this on iTunes or Spotify or anything else, leave the reviews to help promote the show. For this episode, number 283, it has been
The Last Word.